welcome to our A Christmas Carol podcast. I'm Mrs. Darling, joining me to discuss the ghosts and their importance are
Miss Petunia,
Annie,
Chloe,
Ava.
Okay, we don't mind when or where you listen, but if you're in a position to take notes, you should grab a pen and paper and do so. Okay, so I'll begin with a question. Why does Dickens begin the novel with Marley was dead to begin with?
To emphasise the fact that he really was dead, and to show that he came back, like as a ghost.
Yeah, like a bit of foreshadowing to show that maybe he's not really dead and he's living on somewhere else. And probably to add a bit of suspense, because like, imagine if you just open a book and it just said Marley is dead and you've never read it in your life before. You're like, one, who's Marley? And two, what's this going on about?
And also that to begin with, it's going to make you like want to read one more to be like, oh, so he's dead, but then he's not dead? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it also makes us very clear that it's a ghost, because if he's dead and then he's there as a character, he's definitely a ghost, isn't he? And we've got the colon as well. It says, Marley is dead, colon, to begin with. Why that? Why that separation of that sentence?
Maybe because, as Annie said, it's foreshadowing. Like, it's telling you, Marley was dead, but then it's going, like, back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because if you hear about a character in a book that's dead, you don't really expect them then to feature in the novel at all, but then he's there, isn't he, in that same stave. Okay, did you have any thoughts on that, Miss?
No, I think the girls covered it pretty well.
Okay, so why is Marley's ghost really important?
Because he warns Scrooge that if he doesn't change his ways, you're going to end up exactly like me, even worse, maybe.
Is he just warning Scrooge?
No, I think he's used to like warn the public, like the people in the Victorian era, to not be like Scrooge, to be the opposite, so that they don't have the same fate.
Yeah.
I feel like though if they just sent a random ghost, like let's say before the three spirits, let's say they just sent a random ghost who had the same fate as Marley, I don't think he'd care as much, because Marley was his business partner. He knew him well. He knew him very well, and I suppose that's probably why he cared as much, because Marley was his, like, best mate.
He was his only mate, soul friend, wasn't he? Says soul mourner, soul friend. He was the only friend he had as business partner too. So he was the only real person who was close to Scrooge, wasn't he, in those later years? And even then, Scrooge doesn't sound really sad about any of it, does he? Just seems... You know, he's
like, it is what it is. I can't do nothing about it now.
That's it. Yeah. The only time he becomes involved with it is with the ghost, and the ghost is warning Scrooge, but it's also warning again all the people of the Victorian society that this is what your fate will be. You too will be condemned to a life of purgatory, of dragon boxes, of, you know, repenting for your sins, and your afterlife will be spent like that if you don't do something about it now. Okay, so, Ghost of Christmas Past then. Talk to me about
him. It reminded him of what he was like. He was important, because I'm not sure if it was a hero's year or anything.
Yeah.
But the Ghost of Christmas Past was important because it showed Scrooge what he used to be like and how it's not impossible for him to be like that again.
Yeah.
Like, it's letting Scrooge reflect on his past and realising that he'd lost Belle, and realising that, like, he was happy and now he isn't. It just, like, kick-started the whole redemption, because he realised, I could have had a family with her. I could have, instead of obsessing over the money, I could have had a family, I could have been happy, but he obviously was too obsessed with the money.
Linking on to what Chloe said, the Ghost of Christmas Past is also described as an old man as well as a young child. So that could also reflect the way Scrooge was in his past and the way he is now. And, like, the ghost could almost be like a mirror of Scrooge and how that he needs to change his ways back to the way he was as a child and growing up and back to being a good person.
I think it also, that's the ghost that shows him how drastically he changed.
Mm-hmm.
From being how, like, upset and stuff he was when he was a young schoolboy, and how happy his sister made him, to now nothing matters to him, but the money, all he cares about is having things and possessions. So it shows him, like, that's not truly who he is, it's who he's been made to be.
Yeah, and the ghost changes, doesn't it? Uses, like, lots of oxymorons, even in the description of him. He's wearing winter, holly and summer flowers, and he's young and old, and he's got 10 legs, 2 legs, whatever. So we've got all of that going on, which is confusing Scrooge, isn't it? So at that point, they want to just confuse him so that he's listening. You know, it's confusing. We want to confuse you. We want you to think about what you're doing. But that ghost in the description of it, him or her, also has a light coming from its head. Why?
I think that at the end of Stave 2,
you're right. When
Scrooge tries to put out the light, I think that's kind of representing how, because light is, Jesus was seen as light, as the light of the earth. And I feel like when he's trying to put the light out, it's showing like how he's turning away from God, sort of.
Yeah.
Like he's making other idols, which is his money.
Yeah.
And he's not, it's like he's trying to run from what he is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's trying to show like Scrooge is trying to like extinguish the good that he once was, because it pains him to see that he was such a good person. And he's aware that he wasn't now, and he's aware that like the light is what he was, and he's trying to put it out because he doesn't want to see what he was, because he's trying to settle like in a debate with himself that he's happy, but he knows he's not like inside, but he's trying to like show off that he is with the money.
Yeah, at this point then, what you're saying is, I think he's more comfortable at this point in the novella in the dark, in the evil. He's he's not evil, but in the bad, kind of in the dark and badness. He's more comfortable there than he is in the light with the hope and showing the truth, isn't he? So he's feeling a little bit uncomfortable with this ghost because of its changing formation, and because, you know, we've got that contrast between the light and the dark, the light that is the hope of the future, or the way Scrooge was in the beginning, and the dark of where he finds himself at the minute. Okay, so we've got that little contrast going on there too. Tell me about the Ghost of Christmas Present.
He's described as a giant, which could also like show the way Scrooge is feeling in the presence, and the giant could represent the stack of problems he's got and he hasn't resolved, or he's just pushed aside and like brought the money forward instead, which is also why it's quite grand when they describe him, because there's loads of different foods and presents and everything, which like Scrooge in a way wants and he's got, but he's got nobody to share it with.
I feel like the Ghost of Christmas Present though, it's also like I feel like it's really the ghost that shows him what he's like now. Like, looking on the Cratchits and, like, showing him ignorance and wants, I feel like it really made Scrooge realise that I'm not a good person here, I need to be something better. And that's probably why he respects going to the third ghost so much, because he realises how much of a horrible person he's been. And he's now eager, and he's now willing to change himself.
Yeah, that redemption start. You know, that this ghost, I always think of him as being like Father Christmas in the way he's described, because he's got those long robes and the beard and all of that, hasn't he, going on? And he's dressed in green robes, and traditionally Santa was dressed in green. It was only when Coca-Cola came around that it started to be red. So he has kind of got that kind of Santa look to him, like quite benevolent and kind and jolly. Described as jolly, he had a jolly voice as well, didn't he? And you think all that food and the way he does up, does in Scrooge's parlour, and he's put all the food and the fire's roaring, it's probably showing him what Christmas should be like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of just the darkness that he lives in with the food that most of the poverty, the people in poverty would have eaten, and with the only one called shown like you can be better.
Yeah.
This isn't the way it's supposed to be.
And then he shows them people's different people's Christmases, doesn't he? And then we see from different people's Christmases that Scrooge could actually have been a part of that. And this is how Christmas again for him could be. And then he has ignorance and want.
See, I feel like that's the turning point. Like, the Ghost of Christmas Present shows, like, always jolly, always, like, everything like that. And then he suddenly switches.
Yeah.
And he's ignorant and he's greedy. And I think that's, like, showing how Scrooge was jolly. And then he switches and he becomes obsessed with money and he becomes ignorant and wanting stuff. I feel like the ghost really portrays how he was jolly and now he's not.
Yeah, now it's time to become serious because although, as I said, it shows Scrooge what Christmas could be like with all that food and everything piled up in his house, it also shows it's a little bit much, isn't it? It's in absolute abundance. It's everywhere. So maybe it's to show us that we do sometimes go overboard in this. There are still people who need, who want, and not to become ignorant of that as well. So I think there's a lot of messages with this ghost. You know, that there are definitely lots and lots of clear messages in that. Don't be ignorant. You know, it's not all about what you want. But enjoy the season, isn't it? And he wants to show that to Scrooge. Yeah. Ghost of Christmas yet to come.
Most important ghost in my opinion.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because like he shows Scrooge what he's going to be like and his fate in that, and that's what scares him. Like it scares him because he knows he doesn't want to be like that, and I feel like it really is like the final thing that knocks him, and it's like Scrooge now definitely needs to redeem himself, if you get what I mean. And like showing Scrooge's grave and showing Tiny Tim's grave, it really was like the biggest turning point for Scrooge's mindset.
And if he looks, if we say the Ghost of Christmas Present looks, it resembles Santa, what does this ghost resemble? He's hooded.
Isn't it like, what's it, the thing with the...
Yeah, door? With the side.
Yeah.
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like the Grim Reaper in his description and what he's wearing. Why would he be looking like that?
Does he show him how death can be?
Death's close, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, and what's going to happen in the future. And he doesn't speak, this ghost.
No.
Why?
I feel like that's because he just wants Scrooge to figure it out on his own. Like, he knows why
he's there. Actions are stronger than words type of thing.
Like, he knows why he's there. Now he's just got to, just take in what he's being shown and think about what Danny just said. Actions are stronger than words.
Yeah.
So if I'm not speaking, you should see that what you say doesn't matter. It's what you do that counts.
Yeah. There's nothing left to be said, really.
Mm. I feel like it's like him, like he doesn't speak because Scrooge, obviously he needs to figure it out on his own. But I feel like, because Scrooge was like asking questions and stuff, and I feel like the ghost wants Scrooge to be like, he wants Scrooge to be definite about his own redemption. Like, if Scrooge is still asking questions, it shows that he's a bit wavering, like he's a bit unsure still.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't respond to the question, then it forces Scrooge to solve them himself, and it forces Scrooge to realise that he needs to redeem himself without the help of anybody else. It's solely what he does that changes his fate.
Yeah.
I feel like when he asks the ghost as well, is it what it will be or is this what it could be?
Yeah.
I think that was sort of him being like, okay, he still has a chance to change.
Yeah.
But I feel like if he would have saw that was definite, I don't think he would have changed. I think he would have just stayed on how he was and kept going down that path.
Yeah, because he knew he couldn't have done anything about it.
Yeah, it's like if you're at the point where there's nothing more you can do, then he probably would have just been like, okay, then what's the whole point in this?
So he needed to shock him and show him how bad things would be if he didn't change, didn't he? How awful things would be. And his own death and Tiny Tim's death.
I feel like that relates a lot to, like, the Victorian time, though, because, like, the amount of people during the Victorian time that would have wanted to see their fate and see if they could do anything about it was probably like through the roof, like the amount of religious people as well. I feel like if they knew what was going to happen, they'd know what to do to get there.
Especially with a lot of them not having any jobs or barely any houses.
Yeah.
If they saw that one day, they could get back up there and they could actually truly make something of themselves.
It would motivate
them to do so.
And the rich people, it's the motivation for the rich people to change and help people to do what you should do at Christmas and give, you know, and help others.
And then he says at the end, he'll continue it through, like, he'll keep the heart of Christmas and he'll continue it through, which shows that he's not just going to be like that on Christmas, he's going to be like that all the time. And I feel like that's what the point was, because not generalising, but some rich people were arrogant and greedy and they didn't know anything apart from themselves. Where obviously you had other rich people who were kind and everything, but they needed to like realise that if they didn't help people, then they'd all follow the same fate as Scrooge potentially could have before he redeemed himself.
Yeah. And Scrooge really did change, because in stave one, and he says to the portly gentleman about decreasing the surplus population, and then the Ghost of Christmas Present throws that back at him. Mm-hmm. And he's very ashamed that he said that, isn't he? Because the Ghost of Christmas Present says it about Tiny Tim. Or should we just decrease the surplus population then? And Scrooge is horrified at that, and he realises when he sees it applies to a human, a child, how harsh his words are. So the ghosts needed to show him that, didn't they? Okay, so you've already said the most important ghost is Ghost of Christmas yet to come. What do you think?
To be honest, I agree, because I feel like that ghost is one of the main factors of his redemption and helping him realise that he's got to change. And yeah, just feel like that's one of the most important ones.
Okay.
I'm going to flip it here and I'm going to say Marley's the most important, because if Marley didn't show up and tell him, like, this is what's going to happen, you need to take what they say into account, then I don't think he would have reacted the way he did. I think he would have just been like, oh, go away, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Which he was, but he wasn't, like, he was still interested, sort of, in what they had to say.
It's almost like the two truths are told in Macbeth, when the witch's prophecy starts to come true, and Macbeth's like, oh,
yeah,
it might be true. So then Marley says that, and then he says the first ghost will appear at this time, and the ghost appears.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, so what he's saying is true, because it's happened just like he said it did. So it kind of reflects, it's a little bit like Macbeth in that way,
isn't
it?
Marley made prophecies to him and now he's just got to wait for them to come true.
Exactly that, Which one do you think is the most important myth?
I think the Ghost of Christmas Present, because it shows Scrooge, like, the way things actually are.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, his own selfish view of the world. Like, as you said, like, he has his own words thrown back at him when he sees Tiny Tim, and also when he's shown, like, ignorance and want.
Yeah.
And, like, the slums of Victorian London.
Yeah.
And he's like, his words are thrown back, you know, are there no workhouses, are there no prisons? And then also when the ghost shows him the sailors out to sea working on Christmas Day, like, they don't have much, but they're still happy knowing it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's like showing him you don't need money or a lot of things to be happy.
Yeah, I agree. They're all important, aren't they? You couldn't, his redemption wouldn't have happened without all four of them, would it really?
What about you? What's your favourite ghost? What's
the most important?
I see it as we're all going for different ones. I think the Ghost of Christmas Past, just because it shows him and it shows us where he's come from. It kind of gives us a little bit of an insight into why Scrooge is the way he is, you know, being treated badly by his father. I think we start to feel a little bit of sympathy for him there. I think in stave one, we don't feel sorry for him, but this is where, as a reader, we start to feel a little bit of sympathy for Scrooge and a little bit of understanding. But yeah, I think they're all probably equally important.
Mm-hmm.
But that one appearing at that time kind of starts the ball rolling, as it were, and showing us what kind of person he really is.
So do you feel like the Ghost of Christmas Past is more important for the audience?
yeah, for the reader maybe, because it does start to change our opinion of him.
Yeah.
He was abandoned, wasn't he, in school? It's a solitary child alone in school,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he's so happy on his own, maybe, or comfortable on his own.
Because he's so used to it.
Yeah, so maybe that's the way he's gone back to being.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's like though when he was in the school, he had like the fairy tales for his company, and now he has the money for his company. And that's probably just like literally him growing up and realising, oh yeah, fairy tales are over, done it now, no happy ever after, it's now money. Money's my sole obsession.
I also feel like because his sister says, like, father's nice now, that could also be like he hurt him in some way.
Yeah.
So him being on his own is him protecting himself from the hurt that he once experienced when he was around other people.
Yeah, and maybe the money's important because he doesn't have to then rely on anyone else. He's self-sufficient and can source himself out, relies on no one, and then he can't be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes for lots of people in throughout life. You know, lots of people don't have relationships and that kind of thing because they've had bad experiences and then they don't want to be hurt again. It we all protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We all put our oyster shell around us like Scrooge at times. But yeah, so I think it gives us a little bit of understanding of the character, and the fact that it's a child we see makes us feel more sympathy towards him, really.
See, if it was an adult, he probably wouldn't have been as bothered as he is when he sees a child.
You see a child abandoned.
Because he knows how innocent they are, and it's not fair on them.
It's human nature to see a child and to want to be able to help them and care for them and make sure that they are safe.
Yeah.
And like, so seeing that he didn't have that probably struck a nerve with a lot of people.
Definitely. Are we done? Are we happy with that? Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.